When you buy an old van from your aunt, should the act be treated differently from when you purchase a new car from an authorized dealer? You don't have to be a legal expert to guess it right. It feels different. The former sounds personal, the latter strictly commercial, at least from the dealer's side. You and your aunt can agree to the sale on an as-is condition without willful misrepresentation, whereas the dealer is usually bound by various warranties. If you're late on a few payments to your aunt, will she threaten you with a lawsuit? Probably not, although it doesn't mean that she can't. But don't try that with a dealer. In real estate, many developers, if permitted by loan agreement, could repackage and resell your mortgage to a financing institution, i.e., a bank, in which case you could breathe a bit easily, hoping that the developer will use the paid funds to complete the construction. Note that I use the term hoping. As you go about your daily activities, you keep hoping all day long that things would turn out to your liking. The reality, however, often is more complicated. I'm writing this sitting in my neighborhood coffee house, bombarded with flash memories from the myriads of questions by students in my Cambodian business law program. Those questions never quit to amaze me with the reasons why commerce should deserve some special consideration. With a freshly brewed cappuccino in my hand, I want to pretend that law was simple and straightforward in all cases, that civil and commercial purchases could be treated in the same manner, because that would bring simplicity to the transaction, wouldn't it? Indeed, any sales contract always includes terms on payment and transfer of ownership. Yet to treat commercial transactions under the same rules used for civil acts would hinder the society's economic progress. But why? For all it is worth, our 2007 Civil Code governs sales contracts through its provisions related to payment, delivery, defect and liability, sale of objects with security rights, sale with agreement to repurchase, and how the contract may be terminated. In purchasing that van from your aunt, those civil code provisions provide simplicity. If instead of paying her in cash or via the popular QR transfer, you opt for some complexity by writing her a check, the 2005 law on negotiable instruments and payment transactions will come into play. If your purchase with the authorized car dealer is done under a car loan agreement with a bank, the banker will, by virtue of the 2007 law on secured transactions, most likely put a lien on the car to protect the bank's interest by filing the transaction with the Secured Transactions Filing Office. A home loan with a bank most likely involves the registration of the bank's right as creditor on the back of the title deed, i.e. hypothec, pledge over immovable, etc. For your next contract with an internet provider, if you claim that certain clauses give excessive benefits to the company, business operator, or that certain contractual terms are very unfair to you as consumer, the 2019 Law on Consumer Protection and its subsequent Ministerial Order of 2022 shall come to your rescue. I can go on and on with numerous specific laws depending on what it is that you're dealing with, buying shares of a listed company, investing in real estate as a foreigner, etc., are all regulated by separate laws. Moreover, let us not forget that your regular purchases of your favorite coffee via an online platform fall under the 2019 Law on Electronic Commerce. But that is as complicated as a contract can get. From a bird's view, then, selling goods or assets and rights immediately triggers the application of the civil code while bringing in relevant specific laws as the subject matter would dictate. If for some reason, some sophisticated parties decide to apply a foreign law to their disputes, which is often the case when they choose to use commercial arbitration overseas, this so-called choice of law is also available thanks to our 2006 Law on Commercial Arbitration. In this case, parties tend to execute lengthy contracts that provide minor details and hope for a speedy dispute resolution by impartial arbitrators who, wait for it, could even render their binding decisions based upon equity and not just the law per se. Isn't this cool? Looking at your own empty coffee cup, you'd ask, what is wrong with our current system of having a general civil code to be aided by specific commercial laws here and there? Isn't China following this very model too? Indeed, it is. And China is the world's biggest trader. The UK, also a formidable trading nation, has neither a commercial code nor a civil code, but relies heavily on their common law derived from court precedents, as well as numerous legislations passed by Parliament. Countries that follow this English common law tradition have a similar pro-business mindset. Not far from us, Brunei, Malaysia, and Singapore are all such countries. At the opposite end, France famously has Code de Commerce, alongside its notoriously detailed Code Civil. The French model can seem extremely complicated, no doubt about it, but it has worked. Louisiana, a state in the U.S., largely follows the civil law tradition from France, but also adopts many portions of the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC, which is broadly used by all other common law states, with exceptions and amendments here and there made by the adopting states. And Louisiana's rather distinct model has worked too. If every model known to man has worked, why bother choosing? What is the fuss all about? Perhaps this is because even the most objective persons still feed on personal preferences. My preference is to employ a model that would make the most business sense, one which won't hinder society's progress while acknowledging our own identity. Although I briefly referred to sales contract above, commercial transactions are much more diverse than that. In the international arena, laws and cultures that vary from one country to another further add more complexity to transboundary business dealings too. Hence, the so-called 1980 UN Convention on Contracts for the International Sale of Goods, CISG, provides the widely used template for international sales contracts between states that have ratified it. Since it seems impossible to turn Cambodia into a common law country anytime soon, and if we have to adopt a commercial code of some sort, perhaps a good place to look would be a model that satisfies three preconditions. First, it is the fact that all the fundamental rules generally applicable to all commercial transactions be found in one unified source, one code, formal structure. Secondly, that the rules remain sufficiently flexible so as to allow for evolving interpretations as the society progresses. Lastly, that specific laws may preempt the code's provisions. The U.S.'s Uniform Commercial Code satisfies all these conditions and can thus serve as a starting point. Although the UCC is adopted as a statute by states, judges have used common law principles to interpret its provisions and to fill in gaps when there is one. Specific law may also supersede the UCC. As the very nature of commerce itself keeps evolving, it is high time that our judges started to adopt a more liberal legal reasoning to not only clarify and modernize the law, but to also permit expansion through commercial custom and agreement of the parties.